Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Had the chance to talk to Stan yesterday, and I called him just to visit with him for a little bit. And one of the things he said to me that absolutely blessed me, seems like I can't talk to him without getting blessed, is the fact that the things that we face in our lives or the problems that we seem to go through, the one thing we have to remember, if we don't remember anything else, is that God wants to correct it. He wants it corrected. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean if it means correcting us, that's what He wants to do, but He will do because it's His will. It's not just what we want to see taken care of, not just the things we desire to see corrected, but He wants it corrected. Why? For our benefit. Amen? For our benefit. Amen? For the benefit of the kingdom. So, and because He's our Father, and a father never, never takes joy in the things that affect his family, his children, his wife. Amen? And He is our Father. He is our Father. God is our Father. And so He wants those things corrected, and so He will. And His work, He's always working. No matter what we think, no matter what we see, no matter what we feel, He's always working for that correction. Meaning correcting the situation, correcting us, or whatever. Taking care of, you know, whatever needs to be taken care of. But He wants it corrected. And He's working to that always. Always. In our behalf. Amen? The Spirit of God. So we ought to be excited about that. Understanding that God's whole purpose and plan is to correct everything that is out of place and that's wrong. And thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. Meditate that this morning, today. Hallelujah. Father, we love You. We thank You for this time. Once again, we say this day is about You, Lord. We're here for You, Lord. We're here to praise You, to worship You, to lay our lives down for You, to give You glory and honor. Once again, we ask, Lord, that everything that's said and done in this house today would bring honor and glory to You and to please You, Lord, be a sweet smell and a sweet sound. We thank You for the anointing in and on each person, the Holy Ghost in power, Jesus, the anointed one who's in us, dwells in us. And now, Lord, we just commit this service to You. And Holy Spirit, once again, we've already invited You, take control. Cause our Father's will to be done in each of us and in this place today. And we'll give You praise and thanksgiving and glory and honor forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. We trust You, Lord. You are worthy. And You alone are our hiding place. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, once again, I come before You. Humbled to be called, Lord, to do Your will. Hide me, Lord. Let Jesus and You, Father, and the kingdom be exalted today, Lord. We look to You, the author and finish of our faith this morning. We thank You for Your undying, uncontained, unreserved love and compassion, Your grace and mercy this morning. Once again, we ask the question, what is man that You are mindful of him? You've made him a little lower than the angels, but You've crowned him with glory and grace. Father, we love You and we thank You today. Now, Lord, let Your word come forth in power and boldness and confidence, Lord. Use me, Lord. I surrender to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can be seated. I want to welcome our guest. Welcome. Glad to have you this morning. Amen. Yes. Amen. Just make yourself at home. You're among family and friends. How many here have had something come up or you hear something and you don't have all the facts, but there's just something about it that just absolutely just irritated the fire out of you? And you go off the deep end and you start grumbling and complaining and throwing a royal hissy fit, act like something's got you, that you're on fire, and when you get done, you realize you just messed up big time. Just messed up big time. Recently, I had a situation in my own family that, because I only had half the facts, I got so upset, you can't believe it. I had a meltdown. And I'm not proud of that. But thank God I'm forgiven. It's under the blood. But as I walked away, and as I just kind of took a little nap on it, and then went to do some other things, all of a sudden I heard the voice of my Father saying, that Abba Father, Daddy God, saying, Bill, what about this? Bill, what about this? Have you considered this? Is it possible this? And as I was hearing this, I realized more than ever in my life how much God loved me. Because He didn't turn around and start railing on me, start telling me what an idiot and what a fool I was, and that was a great display. I deserved it. I deserved it. But thank God He doesn't give us what we deserve. He's full of grace, unmerited favor, and mercy. Amen? Hallelujah. And at that moment, those songs of joy we sang about just overwhelmed me. I felt more secure than I ever have in my life in God. And I knew that even though I had messed up, it wasn't something done in secret either. And I was upset not for me, but for my mom. Because I felt that this situation that had come up was taking advantage of her and that there was no consideration for her. So I got offended for her, and I didn't have all the facts. Which made me look like twice the fool. Now, I know y'all have never done that, but that's okay. I'm just going to be honest with you. And I'm going to tell you the outcome of that whole situation when it was said and done and after everything transpired. I found out that, I mean, God was ministering to me. And in fact, before it was all said and done, where the people had come and what was supposed to happen, happened. Okay, Holy Spirit, bring it back to me. Again, I realized God's love, but I also realized that God didn't condemn me. Instead of pointing out my faults or railing on me, He just said, Bill, think about this. Which means His love was in operation. See, now in the world, when somebody does something like that, first thing we want to do, our self-righteousness, is you're right in their face and, you know, tell them off. And God didn't do that. And to me, at that moment, that was the thing that I needed to cause me to take another step higher in Him. Amen? I want to read something to you. Return with me to Romans chapter 14, verse 10. I believe Bob mentioned this on Wednesday night. About the judgment seat of Christ. But I want to talk to you about how sometimes we get involved in things or we look at things that irritate us. I know what I was going to say. The whole thing was that what I realized and what God showed me is I was reacting out of my own insecurity, my own rejection, and my despise for what I felt was a wrong thing. So I judged the whole situation and the people as being wrong until God took me aside and gently said, Bill, this is the way. Walk in it. So that's what the crux of my message is. I don't have a title. Patrick, I'll just trust God will give you one for me or give me one before this is over. Anyway, Romans chapter 14, verse 10 says, why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And that was an amazing scripture on Wednesday night. And it's still amazing here. Why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The bottom line is, we know who the Alpha and the Omega is. We know who the beginning and the end is. We know who holds everything in His hand. That word judge in Strong's means to pronounce an opinion concerning right and wrong. And how many know that two wrongs never made a right? And so I was totally out of line. I flipped my lid, and all just so I could be foolish. And I know it displeased God, but God didn't put me down. He just said, you know what? That probably wasn't the right thing to do. Very simply, very low key. He didn't rail on me. And you know what? That was the chastening of the Lord. When God begins to speak to you like that, you begin to understand that, you know, that at that moment or the moment you had your meltdown, you stepped outside of God, you stepped outside of His will, and you weren't the example you should have been. I believe there's a scripture that talks about godliness and self-control. We let our emotions, our sensual nature, take too much place in our life. We let it have too much place in our life. And it displeases God. But it doesn't mean He's changed His mind about us. How many know what I'm saying? John 7:24 says, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." That word appearance means seeing, sight, the face, the countenance, the outward appearance, or the look. What it appears to us. No matter what the situation looks to us, how many know God is in control? And how many know that His plan, His will, is to turn things that were meant for harm, no matter what they are, to good? Even if it doesn't look to you and I like it, man, there's no way this can be turned to good. I really messed up. You really messed up. But God can turn it to good. And that's the thing we have to stand on. That's the promise and the word that we have to stand on is no matter what it is. The Bible says in this life we'll have tribulations, we'll do things. But the point is we have to always go back, and the first thing we need to do is look at ourselves and see what's going on inside of us. Now we take these kind of judgments to even more extremes, and we don't even realize we're doing it. I don't think there's any love lost for our president in this place. But the point is, there's a reason why this man is the way he is. We flippantly say, well, he's of his father, the devil. He doesn't know God. But what is the crux of the problem in his life? You and I may never know, but God knows. God sees his past. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He sees what caused him to be that way. So our thoughts should not be about, well, President Obama did this, and let ourselves get all shook up and get anger, you know, which, I mean, some of the things he does, let's face it, cause anger in us. But that anger should not lead to a judgment against him, okay? When we pray for him, what does that mean? That means we don't stand in judgment. That means we look at him through the eyes of God and we see what God sees. A man who desperately needs the Lord, and I'm using him just for an example. We can think of anything else. You know, any politician, okay? Judges, lawyers, banks. We get caught up in things that are around us and we focus on those things and just, I remember somebody telling me one time in a situation we were working and through the course of things, the gentleman asked, he said, well, is everything all right? And I said, well, yes, why wouldn't it be? And he said to me, well, a bit extreme, don't you think? And my partner jumped up and said, well, that's your opinion. That's right, it's my opinion, I'm going to give it to you. You know what, your opinion and my opinion don't matter. Doesn't matter. It only matters what God says. That man operated on something that he abhorred or that he didn't like, and so he's going to make the world know it. He's going to tell you right out, hey, you know, I don't think that was proper. Well, again, you're not walking in my shoes. You're not walking in our shoes, so your opinion's your opinion. You're welcome to it, but it doesn't mean anything to me. I wasn't rejecting the man. I was rejecting the words. You know, he's not standing in our shoes. He doesn't know what we know. He doesn't operate in the knowledge and the responsibility that we had at that moment. If y'all are wondering what happened, it was a soccer tournament. One of the guys got out of control. He was expelled from the game and also from the field, and was given a red card and was not only kicked off the field but kicked out of the entire league. He could never play again. He was blackballed. And because of people who don't understand what Kathy does, what Bob does, what Harry does, what Gene does, they get all excited and they start making judgments on inaccurate and inappropriate and incomplete information. At that moment, because the guy was getting kind of violent, we had the feeling that he was probably on something at that moment. I pulled my baton. And because people think it's just all they've ever seen is the things about Rodney King, where all they did was beat the hound out of Rodney King, that's exactly what was going to happen to this man. What they don't know is through the training that I've received as a law enforcement officer, is I know how to take a person and use that baton as a passive weapon to control them by getting an arm lock on them and bringing them into control so I can handcuff them, and then nobody gets hurt. Well, that didn't happen. He finally left. But the point is, the perception was, that man's going to hit that man. It's based on inaccurate information. That's why God tells us we are not to judge, and especially not by appearance. At all, but especially not by appearances or what we think. Amen? Are you with me? John 12, verses 47 and 48 says, if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. Whoa. How many remember reading that in the Word? And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. Where do we get off passing judgment or judging a situation? When did God ever appoint us judge and jury? Listen carefully. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. We jump on bandwagons and we get involved in things because of our emotions and our likes and dislikes or the things that have happened in our lives, our experiences, our shortcomings, our apprehensions and our feelings of inadequacy or jealousy or whatever it is. And we start jumping out there saying things and getting involved in things that we got no business even being involved with. We're supposed to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified in everything and every situation we see. God's the judge, not us. And that means even in the things that we sit and we talk about sometimes that we have strong feelings about. Let me ask you, which is productive in the kingdom of God? Talking about all the nonsense that's out there, the things that are going to happen anyway that we have no control over, or the things of God? Don't all answer at once. That's why we're supposed to judge ourselves. And then we won't have a need for anybody else to judge us. Thank God that when we make a mistake, it's not a mistake unto death. But at that moment, we need to run to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. He's the advocate that stands before the Father and comes to our aid in that moment. I want to read to you Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. It says, judge not that you be not judged. For what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with what measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you do not consider the plank in your own eye? Let me say something to you. This is talking about Christians. But the Bible says we're supposed to love our enemies. We're supposed to be at peace with those people. Because there may come a time when that person may save your bacon or be somebody who comes to your rescue at the moment of need. It's in God's hands. Amen? Verse 4. Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank in your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck in your brother's eye. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, I want to remind all of us, starting right here with me, that in our lifetime, we will never have the final answer or never have the final say-so, or be able to take the speck out of somebody else's eye, because there's too many things in our eye and our lives. That doesn't mean we're in sin, but that means we have a desperate need for the Lord. That doesn't mean that God's not in us or that we're not rejected by God. It means that we have a need, and that need we need to always recognize, and that's for Him, for His mercy, His grace, His wisdom, His understanding, and the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen? God tells us He would in no wise cast us out. All we've got to do is believe. I heard a statement. You can't believe for something, or you can't believe something if you don't believe for it. Now I'll take a minute to sink that in, let that sink in. You can't believe if you don't believe for it. Your believing is based on the Word of God and the promises of God, or there's nothing to believe in, correct? The work that Jesus did. Again, I'll let that sink in. I'll take a moment to meditate that. Let the Holy Spirit do what He's going to do. If you don't believe the Word, then you can't believe for what it is you're believing for. And the sad thing is many people have had the experience of God, have had things. Thank the Lord. We just heard testimony this morning from Marie about how God touched her. She said, "Satan, get out of here." She knew it was an attack of the enemy against her back, and he left. Imagine that. But that's because her focus was on the Lord, not on the problem. I'm sure it was uncomfortable. Any of you who have ever had any kind of a backache or back problem, you understand it's very uncomfortable. But the point is, that's not the final answer. That's not the final say-so. Because of the bruises and the stripes, the beating that Jesus took, we were healed even before the cross. Hallelujah. Let's move on. Luke 6, 36 through 38. Luke 6, 36 through 38. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I got to tell you, in this whole situation, God made me more free, and I felt more free than I've ever been. And you know, I've got more peace and more calm in my life. You know? I mean, how many understand? And I don't think there's anybody in here that's any different than me. You just may react a little different than I do sometimes. But the point is that have not had a situation that sent you over the top. You had no control over it. You couldn't do anything about it. But man, it just irritated the fire out of you. You don't have to show your hands. God knows. He sees. That's a reaction to something you have no control over, and a reaction to something that is designed to... Maybe it's not even designed, but maybe it's something that happened the enemy just tried to take up and use against you. And by the way, he's not sitting there at the checker table with God having a conversation about you and I all day long. Can you even say that again? He's not sitting at the checker table playing checkers having a conversation about you and I all day long. God's not in the habit of talking to him about you and I. He's in the habit of covering us, letting the anointing that He's placed in us because of Jesus, the Christ who is the Anointed One, which is the Holy Ghost and power in your life. Remember, you have the Holy Ghost and power in your life. You can only be taken advantage of when you allow yourself to be taken advantage of. You can only have bad thoughts or thoughts that are not correct when you allow them to come. Amen? Understand, you allow those. And the thing is that there, if there's anything that's contrary to the Word of God, those are the things that you need to cast down. Take captive in your life. Amen? Bring them into the obedience, to the subjection of Jesus Christ and the Word. Amen? The truth. John chapter 6, verse 36 through 38. Praise you, Lord. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, we've taken that scripture, and we've run that thing in the ground, talking about finances. And it's so much more than finances. That's because we have a finite mind. We get tunnel vision about things. You're struggling with money, it's easy to see why you get caught up in that. But that's not what it's talking about. Only. That's part of it. But it's about everything. Let me run this by you. How about if what that means also is that we give every situation to the Lord, and then He gives back to us good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Which is exactly what happened when I stopped and got quiet before God, and He began to reveal the foolishness that I had just gone through. I mean, I left my testimony right flat where I was standing when I got upset. Left my testimony. But I wasn't condemned and I wasn't judged by God. The only thing He saw was righteousness, because at that moment I repented and I fell in love with Him more than I ever have before, and I'm more in love with Him now because He showed me His love. He demonstrated His love to me. Let me see that I was wrong, but He didn't crucify me in the process. Amen? As humans, even as Christian humans, we criticize and judge what we see or hear based purely on thoughts, upbringing, or emotions, or sensualness. I don't know how many people like that word. It's not a comfortable word, but it's the truth. When we operate in our wisdom and our understanding or our sight with our emotions and stuff, we are operating contrary to God. Doesn't mean we've left God. It means we're just not, for the moment, thinking straight. Amen? As people, we judge others by their actions while we want to be judged by our intentions. Let me say that again. As humans, even as Christians, maybe especially as Christians, we judge other people by their actions, but we want to be judged by our intentions. Now, I don't know about y'all, but that sounds wrong right from the very time you speak it out of your mouth. It's just wrong. It's not right. Our judgments are based solely on what we see and what we hear according to our own likes and dislikes or emotions. Are you with me? 2 Corinthians 10:17 says, "Do not look on things according to the outward appearance." Whoa! Let me read that again. Let's don't run through that too fast. Do not look at things according to the outward appearance. If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ's, even so we are Christ's. We get in an uproar with our emotions about things we have zero or no control over. We can't change them by talking, grumbling about them. I don't care whether it's politics, economy, someone's actions or the lack of action, world problems. Are you with me? You can't change that. The last scripture was 2 Corinthians 10:7. 2 Corinthians 10:7. How many know what I'm saying? The only power and authority we have concerning any matter except our own lives, you know, we have the power and authority over our own lives. We need to exercise it probably a whole lot more than we do. It's prayer and living according to the will and the Word of God found in His Word and revealed by the Holy Spirit, our Comforter. Amen? We have the Holy Ghost and power in our life. But that Holy Ghost and power is not to go around pointing a finger and judging situations, calling right, right, and wrong, wrong. We have to live what's right and wrong in our lives. And by our living what's right and wrong in our lives by the Word of God, we're going to provoke to jealousy. I can't tell you why I understand that. All I know is God said it, and I believe it. And so I'm secure in that. I can promise you, as you and I change, the people around us, the circumstances around us, and our circumstances that we live in, will change. Oh, you missed a good place to say amen. You need to confess that's the truth. He's in control, as long as we don't try to take control from Him. Amen? Don't get caught up in things that you encounter, conversations, reports, that don't reflect faith and trust in the promises and plans of God that He has for you based on His Word. What does Galatians 5:1 tell us? It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty." That word liberty means liberty to do or omit things having no relation to salvation. Let me say that again. That word liberty there means to do or to omit things that have no relation to our salvation. They're not important. Amen? Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And that word free means to make free. That liberty has made us free. And do not be entangled again. That word entangled means to have within, to hold in, ensnared, to set oneself against, to hold a grudge against someone. And the word again just means anew. You started anew. It's fresh now. All of a sudden, you step right back into the bondage and things that you were set free from. How many want to go there? I didn't see any hands. It's also, that word again means a renewal or perception of action. Or petition, excuse me, repetition of action, excuse me. Renewal or repetition of action. Don't get caught again. Don't get caught again. Let me finish. With the yoke of bondage or slavery. That word bondage means slavery. Don't be caught up in that slavery. You're putting yourself back in bondage and in slavery to the things that you've been set free from. I'm sorry, but the picture that I see is the one where the Scripture talks about the dog returning to his own vomit. That's a lovely picture. That'll get you excited. If you're taking notes, 2 Peter 2:20 through 22. 2 Peter chapter 2 verses 20 through 22. For if after they have escaped the pollutions, oh, by the way, that word yoke means burden, slavery, troublesome, laws imposed on one. The Pharisees felt even Christ's commands, they expected to be submitted to their laws. Whew. Whew. What arrogance. What arrogance. Talking back about the Scripture we just read. Galatians 5:1. Anyway, moving on. 2 Peter 2, verses 20 through 22. It says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of this world, through the knowledge of Jesus, of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them. They are again entangled in them and overcome the latter. For if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and Savior, they are again entangled. They become again entangled and overcome, and their latter day or their latter end is worse than their beginning. Don't become entangled again with the yoke of bondage. By us entertaining these things and getting all shook up and talking about the things, again, we have no control over in the natural. All we do is take our mind off of God and put them on things that cause our emotions, our insecurities, and our likes and dislikes to explode in us, and then all of a sudden we're in danger of going off stupid, like I did, and running off at the mouth. It's not important. We know who the one who saved us is. We know who the one who's won the battle is. He's already made a show of the devil. He's already taken the teeth out of the lion. Now all he can do is run around opening his big mouth, putting thoughts on our heads, and half the time the thoughts come whether he's there or not. We blame him for our insecurities. Come on, say amen. If you can't say amen, say oh me. It's the truth. We're always looking for a scapegoat, even the enemy. Even our enemy. Always looking for a scapegoat. We don't want to take responsibility for our own actions. We want to pass it off on somebody else. The devil made me do it. I pray Flip Wilson made his life right with God before he died. Okay. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed her wallowing in the mire. I'm going to make a statement again that I've made many times. Too simplistic, but how profound. More real to me today than at any time in my life that I've ever said it before or that I've realized it. And that is, if you feel far from God, or things aren't going right in your life, guess who moved? God's made up His mind. Have you? He's made up His mind. Have you made up your mind? If you're unstable in beliefs, or the things that God said and what you're trusting in, you better examine your beliefs. You better go back and get in the Word and read the foundations. Go back to the milk of the Word. Remind yourself that God can't lie. And let me tell you something. If you struggled with this, or if you struggle with this, even today, as much as you ever did, then I would ask you, okay, we'll come back to that. Then what I would ask you is, are you really secure in your salvation? Or is the things in your life too big for God to have taken care of through the work on the cross and prior to the cross? Are we so special that the things in our life are so big that they're bigger than God can handle? That should be a resounding no. Heard Stan say many times, somebody comes and says, but you don't know where I've been, you don't know what I've done, you don't know what happened. No, I don't care. I'm determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I don't care what your past is, it's your past. And I know God said you're forgiven. And that sin unto death was dealt with the day that you said, Jesus, come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. I acknowledge you as the sinless Son of God. I need you. Now I surrender my life to you. It's done. Any other thought that comes, you need to crucify that. When the Bible says crucify your flesh with the affections and lusts, that's what it's talking about. Those things that are contrary to the Word of God, that stand against the knowledge of God, that glaringly say, God didn't do enough. Whoa. How did we get so special? How did we get so powerful? I'll tell you what it's called. It's called arrogance. It's not even doubt and unbelief. It's arrogance. God forgive us. Let me go back and finish. 2 Peter 2. But it happened to them according to the proverb. Okay, we read that. All right. The word pollutions is the word vices, foulness, and contaminants in verse 20. The word knowledge is the word precise and correct knowledge, the knowledge of things ethical and divine. Any other thought is not from God. It needs to be crucified. That's flesh and flesh thinking, or carnal thinking and carnalness coming out. It needs to be crucified. Again, knowledge is the precise and correct knowledge in the knowledge of the things ethical and divine. And the word entangled there is from in the Greek is involved. Don't be involved again in those things that you've been set free from. It's just like the picture we just read in verse 22 about the dog going back to his vomit. Why do you return to those vile and debased things? Why do you let those things have control of you? Have you got nothing better to do with your life than just sit and look at all these things and let the enemy beat you up and just get your blood boiling? I said to somebody in this church one time, called me up and started railing on me. And I said to him, is that all you have to do? You need to find something to do with your time. Sitting there thinking somebody's out to get you, or somebody's leaving you behind, or somebody's ostracizing you. I said, I got better things to do. And believe it or not, my thoughts are not always on you, except when I pray for you. And you know what? They didn't leave. They remained. Now, since then, that's between them and God. Whatever happened, happened. But they didn't leave because I sent them out of here or because I railed on them. Their conscience or the Spirit of God was dealing with them, and they got uncomfortable. Got to examine our own ways. We've got to think about what we're doing and what our motives are and everything we say and do. What is our motive? Is it based on insecurities? Is it based on rejection? Is it based on hurts, things that people have spoken over you and I? Or is it based on the Word of God? The only truth. The light, not the darkness, the light. Amen? Of this world. Okay? We get caught up on things that are unrighteous.
Show me where it says that in the Word, where we're supposed to dwell on things that are unrighteous. I can tell you some of my pet peeves. Credit bureaus. Forced insurance. If I let these things, they would consume me. Because they're wrong. They're not only anti-God, they're anti-Word and they're anti-Constitution. What am I going to do about it? Pray. Pray. Trust God. Pray. Trust God. Pray and trust God. Because He promised in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and call upon Him according to His purpose. He also says that I turn those things that were meant for yours and my harm or the destruction of this world to good. For what? For yours and my benefit. More than that, for the kingdom of God. And we are part of the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen? Ha! World or local reports of calamity. Our job is not to get involved with the things of this world. And that means even talking about them. Dear God. It's one thing to say, hey, you know, that was probably not a good move. That's, and then let it go. But if you dwell on it, you let it get you upset, and that's what you're talking about, you're not building the kingdom. You're exalting the things that are wrong in this earth. God loves you and I love you and I'm not railing on you. But we got to call right right and wrong wrong. Amen? I got one amen out of that. Well, that's what I want to do. I admonish you. I beg you, please follow. Please follow. Because all that stuff does nothing but get my blood boiling because I still live in this thing called the flesh. But that's not the real me. That's the carnal me. That's the part that needs to be crucified. That's the part that needs to have its mind renewed by the Word of God, by the washing of the water of the Word. Amen? Hallelujah. But our job is not to get involved with the things of this world, either by thought or actions. But our job is to take as many as we can with us. Amen? Hallelujah! Hallelujah. That sounds like a lot more fun job, don't you think? That's where I'm going to dwell. How about you? I've made my commitment. Take as many of them out there as we can with us. Amen? You want to put your foot on the devil's neck? You want to give him a black eye? Just start preaching God and the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. He wants to keep coming back with all the garbage he's got. Let him keep coming. And we'll just keep railing on him. He's already defeated, but he's too stupid to lay down. All of our own judgments apart from the Word of God and His righteous judgment and our observations based totally on and with imperfect information are judgmental and judging. We react to people, information, and things based on our own personal issues and experiences. These are inadequate at best, and our perceptions are based on hearsay and half-truths or unrighteous judgment. See, I've already told you that the reason I went off the deep end is because I didn't have the whole story. You want to hear the rest of the story? Some of the very things that made me angry came back. And my cousin and his wife were wounded to the quick because the thing they tried to do, and people acknowledged, yes, we'll be there, we're going to come. Yes, great, good to see you, glad you're here. And not one person came or had the decency to call and say, we're not going to be able to make it when they promised they would be there. That sounds like righteousness to me, doesn't it to you? No. That's unrighteousness. And so here's two people. And you know what the worst part is? At least one of them that I know of, maybe more, but one that I have a fairly secure knowledge of, claims to be a Christian, man of God. This is in your biological family. Oh. Jesus, your mother and brother are outside. And Jesus says, who is my mother or my brother or my father or my sister? But those who do the will of God, those are the family. Jesus said he didn't come to bring peace. He came to bring enmity between father and mother, father and daughter, mother and son. Why? Because there can't be anything in a higher place, in the highest place in our life, except Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. It's all unrighteous judgment. It needs to be left alone. Amen? Our talking about it's not going to make a change. It's not going to do anything except maybe even cause another brother to stumble because they may not be as mature as you and I. Amen? If you can't say amen, say oh me. We seem to and many times never consider the reliability of the source or system delivering the information or the credibility of the broadcasting or printing the information we receive. We also do not stop to make sure what we read, hear, and rely on, or what we relay is correct, or we understand correctly, or have all the information. Man, we're in a impetuous lot, aren't we? And see, through all of this, I didn't feel beat up. I felt more need for God than I've ever had in my life. Trusting Him because I just watched Him turn around and minister to me in an edifying, exhorting, building up way, a comforting way. He didn't say it. He didn't have to. His actions and the way He reacted to me and what He said to me showed me how much He loves me. Makes me ashamed of sometimes the way that I have acted. Thank God it's under the blood. I'm not going to dwell on it. It's not useful for anything except to remind me where I've been brought from and where I am today and where I want to go tomorrow. Amen? Hallelujah. We look at and react on information we receive based solely on our own personal issues that have not been resolved in our own lives. Come on now. Many times we catch a partial statement or hear half of a comment or a statement or conversation or story and make an observation or form an opinion based on incomplete and inadequate information. Guilty. Another very ungodly thing we do is look at a person or situation or an appearance of a person from impulses or emotions based on upbringing or the lack of upbringing pent up inside us. They're not dressed the right way. They're not acting the right way. Well, I remember reading one time, therefore, but for the grace of God, go I. What made the change in my life? It can make the change in their life too. Remember, we're going to take as many of them as we can with us. Amen. We're going to read here in a few moments about judging the outward appearance. And even though we make comments, make no mistake, you can agree or disagree, but it's the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit's in control, not me. If it's contrary to the Word of God, it's ungodliness. And you're passing a judgment. I remember going to a church one time where if you didn't have a suit and tie on, you weren't spiritual. I must be a reprobate then, huh? Amen. Moving right along. We don't stop and consider why, according to the Scripture, or what has brought or caused a person to come in contact with, or we observe, to be the way they are. We know and make, according to Scripture, the statement from the Word about an unbeliever that they're of their father who is the devil. Okay, that may be a true statement. Now what? But the point is, here's the thing. If we are really walking in love and we are really in tune with the Spirit of God and the Word of God, then we don't look at those things and we don't make comments about those things. We consider God, what is it in their life? If God would reveal it to us, He may or He may not, that makes them or has caused them to be the way they are. What was their lifestyle? What happened to them as a child? Y'all know what happened to my ex-wife. She got caught up in the anger, the resentment, the hatred, the feeling of inadequacy, the low self-esteem of the things that happened to her that were not her fault. And now she's not with us anymore. That wasn't God's plan. You hear me? That wasn't God's plan. But you see, it's easy for people to stop and look at what kind of lifestyle she had and pass judgments on that. But you don't know what she went through. You didn't walk in her shoes. You didn't have that gun pointed to your head saying, if you tell anybody, I'll kill you. Now, tell me about your judgments and your righteous judgments and mine. They don't stand. I'm sorry, they just don't stand. The only thing you can do as a Christian is consider your ways and change as God tells you to change. You can't point out the things wrong with other people. You can't talk about them behind their backs and have anything righteous come from it. Sorry, folks. I love you. If this is stepping on your toes, forgive me. God loves you and I love you, and I'm not here to step on your toes. I'm here to build your faith. Not only that, if we'd stop long enough to pray for them instead of passing judgments or making comments about something that kind of didn't set well with us, the Holy Spirit might have a way to speak to us and say, here's the answer, now go minister to that person. You want to minister to people? Get out of yourself. Crucify the flesh with its affections and lusts. Amen? That means even standing up there and saying, look where I am. I'm a pretty good person. I don't act like that. No, honey, if it wasn't for God, you would be acting like that, and you were acting like that before you knew Him. Amen? Now, the next thing I want to tell you is even if you are acting like that, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Forgiveness has not gone away. It didn't begin and end at the cross. It began and ended with a pure heart, a heart that looks to the Lord and who trusts Him and realizes without Him, you are nothing, you can do nothing, and you will never be anything. But what you are is because of Him. Amen? What you are and what you become is because of Him. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. God has a plan for you. He has thoughts for good and not for evil, to prosper and not to harm you, and to give you what? A hope and a future. Now, what are you hanging on to, or what's bothering you? If God can't, if God didn't come to judge, then stop listening to the lies. Stop listening to the lies based on what you hear, what you feel, what you think. Go back to Jeremiah 17:9. And if you've got to read it every day for a month and meditate it all day long, or put it on every corner of your house, on your mirrors, on your refrigerator, or whatever, then do it. That's the soul nature, the carnal nature of man. It needs to be crucified. Once and for all. Left intact, it will do nothing but bring you bondage, ensnarement, entanglement with things that will tear you down, not build you up. Did y'all forget the word amen? Goodness. I want to say it again. We do not stop to consider why, according to Scripture, or what has brought or caused a person to we come in contact with or observe to be the way they are. We know and make, according to the Scripture, a statement from the Word about the unbeliever, okay? And as they're of their father the devil, okay, so now what? Is that the end of the story or just the beginning? Now you know something you can pray about, don't you? Start praying Ephesians 1:18 or 1:16, whichever it is, about the eyes of the understanding being enlightened. You know something? Nothing can stop the Holy Spirit except the person who He's in contact with. The Holy Spirit will chase you from here till eternity to try to get you to change because God loves you that much. He didn't just say, here it is. Now, I hope if you accept it, fine. If you reject it, fine. It's up to you now. He still chases because He loves. When you love someone, don't you pursue them? Don't you actively look for the good for them, to see the best things for them? That's the way God is. And He's relentless. He doesn't give up like us. He doesn't get tired or get weary like us. Amen? We pray for something, we expect something. If it didn't happen yesterday, we give up. Oh well, must not have been God's will. Goodness. And all the time we're thinking about this, they're of their father the devil, we're not considering in their life what makes them act and think the way they do. Or we take a politician, I'm just again using that for an example. That's probably the best example I can think of. Politician who does not know the Lord, or even one who does, and we verbally crucify them, not considering that they are men like you and I that God loves. Did you catch that? They're men like you and I that God loves. John 8:7. So when they continue asking Him, He raised Himself up, and He said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. One who has not or cannot sin. Anyone who has or cannot sin. What are we talking about? We're talking about disobey God. Get caught up in the things of this life and the things of the emotions of this world. The things of this world that don't promote or propagate the kingdom of God or the things of God. Here was a woman caught exactly in sin. And by the law, the letter alone, she should have been put to death. But because the Spirit of life, that quickening, that Spirit that made alive Jesus, they walked away because they had to stop and look at their own lives so they couldn't throw a stone because they saw that they were guilty also. Maybe not of the same thing, but of things. And remember, there's no degree in God of sin. You're guilty, and I don't care if it's the most minute thing, you're guilty of all, the Scripture says. Thank God we've been set free. We've been redeemed from those things. We don't have to walk in them. We choose to walk in them if we want, if we're having problems in our life. We choose to walk in them. All I can say is it's yours and my choice. But I'm going to make the statement, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And men, I'm going to admonish you. Men, listen to me. Whatever's going on around you, or maybe even in your house, you have the ability by righteous statements and standing in faith and a statement like, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, to change what's going on in your house. You have that ability. You have that authority and power because God has placed you as the head of your house. Now, it's up to you whether you walk in it or not. But I'm not willing, like Jesus and like the Father, to see anybody perish. I'm not willing to. I'm not going to lay down and die. And even if I miss the boat, if I think it's right, I'm going to do it. And God will honor that. You hear me? We do not know what is in the hearts of others. Only God can see the heart of a man. Now, we know scriptures that say, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, a mouth speaks. Okay, but what is that abundance? Where did it come from and why is it there? If it's God and the things of God, then we know. We're already comfortable with that. But if it's anything other than that, then we have to seek God to know. We may not have to know the exact answer why. All we have to know is there's something there that's not right. And out of the abundance of what's in there, we need to pray and see that gets changed with all our ability. And it may not be us who does it, but maybe it's our prayers that are promoting that change in that individual or individuals. What do you think? Is this too heavy for you guys? Am I losing you? Seriously. Gene? 2 Timothy chapter 2 in closing, verses 23 through 26. I'll start in verse 22. But the real point starts in verse 23. It says, "Flee also youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife." Forget it. Let it go. It's not important. I'm not saying it may not be important to you, but don't all of a sudden think it's important to somebody else. It's not talking about the word here. It's talking about foolish and ignorant disputes. And then thinking about the fact that all they do is generate strife. They don't promote peace. "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach and patient." In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. That doesn't mean setting somebody straight, but saying like Jesus and like the Father, "This is the way, walk in it." Not putting down their thoughts or beliefs as a judgmental thing, but saying, "You know what? Here's a better way." Just like God did to me, and like He's done with you. I know He has. I know He has. Because He's not a respecter of persons, and He doesn't change. Go back and read Hebrews 13:8. "In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil." See, we allow him to put snares out there, and we get entangled in those snares, and we get taken captive by him to do his will. Because we go places and get involved in things, talk about things that are useless. They're useless. I didn't say everything that you do is wrong. I said consider what it is and consider the benefit. God's not against the things you enjoy as long as they're not violating his word. He's against those things that cause corruption, cause separation or division or discord in the body and in the kingdom. Finally, no matter the problem, external or internal, we need to once and for all put our eyes and thoughts and attention on God, and then understand that God wants to get it corrected more than we do. And he doesn't do that by beating you to a bloody pulp. Amen? When did God ever beat any one of us up? Never in my life, even though I deserved it. Oh, dear God, did I deserve it. Remember and get it down once and for all times, in all things. If we're not standing in faith, believing the word in all or every situation, then we're not really believing for the answer. The answer's not talking about all this junk that's going on out there. Those are distractions. I'm going to be quite blunt about it, that I believe, based on the word, can put us in the same situation as the five foolish virgins who missed the marriage supper and the going in with the bridegroom. Amen. And that's not what God wants. God has given you power. You know, he's not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now let's start operating in that sound mind, letting the Holy Spirit promote everything we say and do, and leave alone the things that don't promote the kingdom or that bring strife. Those disputes that are worthless. They're not doing anybody any good, you or the person that hears what you're saying or what your thoughts are. Let's finally come to the place where all we know is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm thankful for the Spirit of God, the presence of God in my life, and for that love that he continually shows. And I know if it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't even be standing here today. At the very least, I might not be in this place. And where I was, I probably in some place I really don't want to be or wouldn't want to be. Amen? But that's taken care of. I don't even consider that anymore. That's already been taken care of once and for all. Once and for all. Amen. Hallelujah. You've been anointed. You've been empowered with the Holy Ghost in power. You are God's anointed. Today is the day that you need to start walking in it. Especially today. How many believe, really believe, like I do and several others that I've talked to here today, that we're gonna either wake up or go to sleep one of these days, and there's not going to be a tomorrow as we see it today. We're going to be in the presence of God. And it is so close. It's so close you can almost taste it and touch it. You can smell it. I believe that. I don't know when that's going to be, but I'm anticipating and I'm looking for his appearing. So everything I do, every moment of my life needs to count for something to the kingdom of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. If it was me out there, not knowing the Lord, I'd be hoping. I would hope that somebody would be able to show me from their lifestyle, not just their words, but from their lifestyle, that they love God and that Jesus really is the one who is the way and who has the truth, and that truth is revealed to me. And by their lifestyle, I see what I'm missing and become jealous, say, I want that. Amen. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, I would tell you that, and I'd submit to you that it's because of the love of God that you and I have not been consumed already. Because we have an opportunity every day to miss it, to screw up. And if it was one strike and you're out, this church would be empty. This would still be a fishing tackle shop rather than a church. Amen? Hallelujah. You have not done anything or said anything that would cause God to turn from you or to stop loving you. And you can't, He doesn't take back your salvation. He doesn't take it away. The only way it can go away is if you give it away. And I don't know a person in this room that is at that place in their life. Amen? You have been set free by the Lord, and you are free indeed. Now I'm going to stand with you, and I'm going to believe for you that you will not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage, be ensnared again with those things that tear down and destroy rather than build up, exhort, comfort, and edify. Amen? And bring peace into your life. Amen? Let me ask you a question. Do you think God would continue to have His touch on your life, to heal and prosper and meet your needs and answer your prayers, if you were in a hopeless situation? I mean, just logically, think about that. That's the way He is. But the point is, He wants you to know and see and understand, and that only comes by being right there in His lap, with His arms around you, face to face, heart to heart, nose to nose, and mouth to mouth with Him, eye to eye, and hearing Him, and feeling and seeing His demonstration of His love for you. Amen? Hallelujah. I need Him. I need Him. I need Him more today than I've ever needed Him in my life. And you know, the more God shows me, the more I get, you know, the more God touches my life and ministers to me and shows me His love, the more I realize how desperately, listen to me folks, think about that word, desperately I need Him. Amen? Because more than anybody, I know that I'm not where I need to be or where I want to be. And there's a lot more. He's not done with this vessel. I'm still on the potter's wheel. He's still molding me. When something happens that causes a blemish in me, He just goes and knocks it out, starts again, starts remolding. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you blessed by this message today? Praise the Lord. I am. I am. I'll tell you, because God ministered to me through this. Thank you, Lord. If you need a prayer of agreement, or if you have another need and you want to come, the elders are here. We'll pray with you and for you. God's not in the embarrassing business. He's in the blessing business. But I also know that corporate prayer and corporate faith, one will put 1,000, but two will put 10,000. Amen? To flight. Amen? Hallelujah.
I'm going to be meeting with co-workers and people in the world, and I want to, Donna and I to somehow touch them in some way that they would know Jesus.
How about if God just uses you to touch them?
Amen. That's,
amen? You know, that's what Patrick just asked. Is he going to be meeting with some friends and co-workers? You know, I knew about this. We talked about this at the board meeting. But he says, I want to somehow, you know, touch them. Well, remember, I told you already that God wants it more than you want it.
Amen.
And so what I believe is God can use him to make that touch. Amen?
Amen.
But more than anything, because of Patrick and Donna's lifestyle, I didn't say they were perfect any more than I'm perfect, but their lifestyle, their heart for God, that's what's going to touch those people. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's agree with him. Guys, praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, we bless your name, Lord. We thank you. You are worthy of all praise. And Lord, you heard from a pure heart the petition that Patrick made. And I know that's Donna's petition also, Lord. Lord, they are a mighty man and woman of God. And so, Father, right now I thank you that that lifestyle, that light that's in them is going to come forth. It's going to expose, cause curiosity, cause a magnetism to take place that will draw people to them. And because of the hope that's in them, they'll be able to share that hope. People will be touched, blessed, healed, delivered, set free, and born again. We thank you for the outcome, Lord. This is our petition, and we thank you that it's done in Jesus' name. From a pure heart, this petition was made. We agree on this thing. And we know by your word, because two or three are gathered and agree, it's done.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad I was here. How about you?
Hallelujah.